Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. Technical difficulties tried to keep us down, but we are very much alive. Trey Watkins, how are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. Just looking out for these storms that's supposed to be hitting down here tomorrow, so I'm all over that.
Storms?
Yeah. They're calling for some of these pretty scary tornadic storms tomorrow.
You live in tornado country?
Dixie Alley, buddy. Dixie Alley. Ooh.
See, not to sound unkind, but I am a tornado fan. They fascinate me to no end. I think those people that are like storm chasers or whatever, it just seems thrilling to me. I'd love to go storm chasing sometime. And, you know, try to get near one of those. I know that they are bad and destroy property, and that's obviously not something I like. But, Trey, I would just like to say, maybe this is a controversial take, I'm just in awe of natural disasters. I think they're awesome to learn about. I think they're cool to watch. And I'm just kind of overall a fan. Don't root for them, obviously. People matter more, but, I mean, I don't know. You get what I'm saying? I love a natural disaster.
Yeah, I understand. It's fun to look at them from afar, but when they're affecting you, they're absolutely terrifying.
Yes, that is true. Well, you are definitely, you know, in the thoughts and prayers. We don't want you to be taken away by a tornado. That would be less than ideal for this podcast.
Jeez, Eric.
I mean, am I lying?
No, you're not.
I mean, the podcast would probably cease to exist for a little while if you got taken away by a tornado. I would probably be a little bit sad for a while and say, I don't really want to talk about football, but eventually I'd come back and do it in your memory. You know, maybe we'd change it to the Trey Watkins Memorial End Zone Podcast.
I'd rather not talk about death right now when I'm 21 years old and I want to have a long life ahead of Eric.
I always think about death. That's one thing, great thing about poetry. A lot of people don't like poetry because of this, but like, if you want to read about loss and death, read poetry. Almost everything is the old thinking almost about loss is entirely old-fashioned, which in some ways resembles a new thinking, one of the greatest poetic lines of all time. But it is something to marvel at. My love of poetry, man, I love that stuff. We should get into that. Trey, can I read you a poem really quick?
You can, Eric.
This is going to be, okay. Welcome to the off-season, folks. Do you think this will be entertaining?
Probably not, but hey, who cares?
Well, Trey, thank you for the vote of confidence. You know I rely on you for both. here is a, as I try not to knock down my pile of poetry. Oh, Edward Arlington Robinson. Let me tell you about this guy, Trey. If you like dead American white dudes who like to write about America and death, ooh, there's nobody who does it better than EAR. EAR is one of the greats to ever get after it. Calvary. This is one of my favorites of him. Friendless and faint, with martyred steps and slow, faint for the flesh, but for the spirit free, stung by the mob that came to see the show, the master toiled along to Calvary. We jibed him as he went with houndish glee, till his dimmed eyes for us did overflow. We cursed his vengeless hands thrice wretchedly, and this was 1900 years ago. But after 1900 years, the shame still clings. and we have not made good the loss. That outraged faith has entered in his name. Ah, when shall come love, courage to be strong? Tell me, O Lord, tell me, O Lord, how long are we to keep Christ writhing on the cross? That was but more religious than I remembered it being. Well, it's a poem more or less about the crucifixion of Jesus. That was probably awkward for Trey. Do you want to make it more awkward and read one more, or should we stop?
We should stop this, Eric.
Should stop this?
Yes, we should.
Hmm.
We can't let Todd get away from us while trying to talk football, man.
Yes, that is true. But these are the tangents I like to go on in the off season. Trey, I believe Trey is tired and wants to go to bed.
No, I mean, I'm not tired. I am just simply trying to hold myself together because I'm terrified for tomorrow.
Oh, the tornadoes are really getting to you, huh?
Dude, because, I mean, you remember last year how Nashville had that fat tornado? Well, I lived ways out, like 30 minutes from Nashville, and the tornado, literally, it was an EF3. It literally buzzed, like, right down the street from me. Yikes. Caused all this damage. I've been terrified of tornadoes since I was a kid. So anytime I hear, you know, weather guys and gals talking about, hey, this day could have potential for a strong log track tornadoes, all that stuff, I get a little terrified. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope that this podcast gives you a moment of relief.
Yeah, I hope so.
Before the terror of the storm. The torrent, as I like to say. Torrent, such a great word. Get that circulating in your vocabulary, Trey. Torrent means a big storm. So, but anyhow, obviously we hope all for the best. I feel I've made light of a serious situation and now feel like a jerk about it. So this is my sincerest of apologies, Trey.
No, you're fine.
This has gone truly off the rails. I do think we should do a poetry reading later this summer, just for the hell of it. Reading poetry on the podcast may continue, but why don't we get to the football, Trey?
Yeah, let's do that.
Why don't we get to the football? Why don't we get to the part of the show Trey likes? I have a habit of getting co-hosts that like sticking to the football, which, you know, keeps me honest in the offseason. Because I would rather not talk about the football in the offseason. But here we go. Free agency round two. Kenny Golladay to the Giants becomes a rich man. Your thoughts on the Giants in general, Trey? To me, it seems as if they are giving Daniel Jones no excuses. But is it great to put this much faith in that man?
I don't even think you can call it faith at this point. It's literally the Giants telling Daniel Jones, you need to go out there and perform or you'll be gone. That, or we'll find another option, one of those two things. And that's what it has to be, because Daniel Jones has been I don't even know if I want to say he's been horrible, but he's not been good ever since he was drafted to the Giants a couple of years ago. He's had turnover problems. He's way too inconsistent, or whether it's his mechanics or throwing the football, it's been all over the place for him. Sure, he's had his moments, and that's totally fine. But for the most part, he's been a pretty below average quarterback for a Giants team that's been, you know, that's looked for, you know, a quarterback option ever since Eli Manning left. They thought Daniel Jones was going to be that guy, but it hasn't, you know, turned out well so far. So look, I don't know. I think the, you know, the recent ration of signings that the Giants made really, really good. Just trying to plug up holes in their roster, you know, in potential preparation for the next quarterback that they go after, or, you know, to help Daniel Jones take his play to another level. But if he doesn't, you know, take his play up to another level, then he's going to be gone. And the Giants will be looking for another quarterback option in 2022, I believe.
Adoree Jackson to the Giants as well. That's one of those roster filling moves that you referenced a bit, Trey. Obviously, mm-hmm. a Titans guy for a long time. Your thoughts on what he currently is and how he fits in there?
You know, I think Adoree Jackson is a solid cover corner. He has some issues with speed sometimes, which is, you know, kind of weird to think because he's a fast guy himself. But he's really developed into a solid cover corner guy that's started to handle more physical wide receivers to the point where he doesn't get manhandled, you know, going after the football. At his peak, like I say, he's a solid cover corner. Could sometimes be shut down, but at his worst, he's a guy that gets way too aggressive, a little bit lazy on the field, and he gets burned from time to time. And one example I could think of that was, you know, I believe it was 2018 or something like that. Adoree Jackson had a real good game, I believe, against the Patriots. And please don't quote me on this. My memory is really bad without looking at the evidence, but he had a real good game against the Patriots, I think, 1 week. He came out and dropped a horrible stinker against the Colts the next week, which T.Y. Hilton freaking burned him. So, and plus, he's been injury prone these past 2 years. So, if he can stay healthy and he doesn't get lazy on the field, then he's a solid cover corner guy, I think. But if he gets lazy, then he'll get burned from time to time. And I'm sure the Giants don't want that.
Yes, that is not ideal. I've not watched a ton of Adoree Jackson. All I know is that I've been totally underwhelmed by the Titans secondary the past 2 years. So to me, the move seems like it's a 50-50 proposition. Juju back to the Steelers. Didn't get a ton of offers anywhere else. Decided to end up taking less money to stay at home. More or less a prove-it deal. Were you surprised at all by this?
I mean, I was when I saw the offers, you know, that he had out, especially when he had an offer from Kansas City. He would have gone to Kansas City.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised he didn't take that.
He would have been a wide receiver, too, in Kansas City, and he would have put up dominant numbers, I think, in that offense.
And you could have gotten paid next year, too. It was also a one-year deal.
Exactly. So you go back to Pittsburgh now, where Ben Roethlisberger is still not good. You know, the defense lost pieces. The offense, you know, It has its questions. The offensive line is still bad. It's sort of a weird sort of situation in Pittsburgh. And it's a weird situation for somebody like Juju to go back, you know, to, because we saw that Steelers offense last year. Big Ben was throwing, you know, 3, 4, 5 yard passes for what, 60% of the time or whatever it is when he was on the field. They didn't have a run game. The offense struggled. You know, as the season went along, especially in the latter half of the season, it's a weird sort of move for Juju to go back. I guess I can get the whole familiarity aspect. You know, you don't want to, I guess, sort of take a prove it deal in an unfamiliar situation, which, I mean, okay, but I would have rather gone to KC with a snap of a finger, especially I'm being promised a role on a pass heavy offense with probably the best or the two best. You know, offense, maybe the two were the best offensive coaching partnership in football. You had the best quarterback in football. It's an all around better situation in Kansas City. So I have no idea why he would go back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you make really good points there. I kind of thought it made sense, but now that you say it, like, you have a year to do on a prove it year with aging, dead-armed Ben Roethlisberger or Patrick Mahomes, and you choose aging, dead-armed Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
And in a place where there are just so many wide receivers chomping up a bit. Like, I mean, Deontay Johnson's going to steal targets from him. Chase Claypool is going to be the number one next year. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at probably James Washington continues to develop and be a solid role player. And, you know, they're definitely probably going to draft someone. Like, I don't know. Feels like a weird business move to pick the Steelers. Those are really good points, Trey. This is why I love having you on the show. I never would have thought of that. So I appreciate those points. So, yeah, that's kind of that's juju. Oh, here we go for Broncos. Kyle Fuller to the Broncos. Me, man, I like this move. Trey, what do you think about it?
I love it. I really love it. I mean, Kyle Fuller gets to go back to Denver to be coached under Vic Fangio, you know, who has done so many good things with, you know, the elite defensive players, especially the secondary guys, throughout his years, you know, coaching throughout the NFL. And so you get Kyle Fuller, who was really, really good in Chicago, and you add that to that corner room. And, you know, suddenly the Broncos have a nice little roster for themselves, man. I mean, you get Shelby Harris back, you get Von Miller back, you still have Bradley Chubb. Your linebacker core is physical. Might have some issues in pass coverage, but it's still a physical linebacker core. And your secondary is real good. And on offense, the offensive line is getting really, really good. The wide receiver core is good. Maybe some questions about running back. And I guess the only big question, you know, on that team is quarterback. So if you get a quarterback, the Broncos could, you know, who knows?
This is what I've been. I know. I was hinting at this last season, but I mean, if they got a quarterback, man, if they ever got even a competent quarterback, like they're a lock as a playoff team. I mean,
yeah,
they are they're an incredibly good roster. They're still, as Joe Rowe likes to point out, still holes to fill. They're still really thin at cornerback. Ronald Darby, who they signed, has never played a full year. Is a constant injury problem. So you're counting on Michael Ojemudia to develop a bit, which I think he will, honestly. I really do think that we'll see a jump from him and that he'll be a lot better in 2021. But they bring back Kareem Jackson for much cheaper. They keep Justin Simmons. It is a very good defense, and, you know, I feel like the draft comes around, they're going to have some, like, three picks within the top 100, I believe, maybe four. I'm guessing they'll do some dealing to get more top 100 picks. They have a lot of late-round picks. Mm-hmm. But I kind of think they might go – I think they'll go heavy defense in this draft. I really do. They've been focusing on the offense so much the last few years. But I think they're going to try to take an inside linebacker because they definitely need an inside linebacker. I mean, Alexander Johnson is, you know,
fine. Yeah, he's
kind of struggles in coverage. And Josie Jewell is the other guy, and he's a good rotation guy, but he's not a guy I feel super comfortable with starting. You know, get a linebacker, draft a corner, figure out quarterback. I mean, but I'm worried they're not going to figure out quarterback. It's getting late enough. I don't really want to talk about the Deshaun Watson stuff until there's like clear cut rulings. Mm-hmm. But that is not a great situation. And they were in the running for him, but I mean, they're probably not in on him when he's got so much off the field stuff over him right now. Mm-hmm. They could get aggressive. The other guy that was they were mentioned with is they could get aggressive for Russell Wilson, maybe. But I just don't know how aggressive George Payton's gonna be trade wise. He was okay, he kind of sat back in free agency and he got his steals, which was good. He didn't overpay for anyone, he made some good deals, but I'm interested. He is a big draft guy. That is one thing that if you listen to his press conferences, he's been saying the whole time is he believes rosters are built through the draft. So I don't know. I think it's draft or bust for the quarterback, but we'll definitely know who the quarterback's going to be by the time we get done with, you know, April. So, you know, not that long until the draft, about a month out.
Yeah.
And we will see what happens with the Broncos. But I do love the roster. I mean, I could be talked in even if Drew Lock was bad. They're not a bad enough roster where if Drew Lock is bad, they're going to have a top five pick. It's just not happening. I see the floor for them as 7-9. Or the current roster as currently constructed. Maybe 6-10. I just don't see how they can win less than 7 games with that roster. Mm-hmm. Even if your quarterback isn't great. And that's just, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about Drew Lock. Part of me wants it. I mean, I just don't know how to feel about him. Because, you know, he could improve. He could, but there's no evidence to say that he will. And it's all a waiting game at that point. So my official stance is look for upgrades and competition and, you know, then wait. But, you know, we all know how this is going to end, Trey. They're not going to draft anyone. I'm going to talk myself into the Broncos. I'll pick them to make the playoffs. October, I'll come on here and yell about them. So that's sort of, you know, the trajectory of the franchise. I will be calling for George Payton's head in over under Halloween.
I'll take over, but just over.
Okay. I think I'd take the under. I think if they start bad, if they started 0-2, I'd get pretty angry, especially if Drew Lock looks bad. So I'll heavy take the under. But
good for knowing yourself, Eric.
We'll see what happens. Don't have to talk about this a ton because he's just returning Chris Carson to the Seahawks. Anything there?
Not really. No, not really.
Sneaky, they've done a lot to keep the guys Russell Wilson likes, which is good, and they sort of half added an offensive lineman. So, I don't know. He's been tweeting out some when Chris Carson got signed, Russell Wilson treated out like glory to God or whatever. And I mean, maybe that means he doesn't want to be traded at the moment. So I really do think that if he gets moved, it's a next offseason thing. But I'll be interested to see how they use their first round pick because, well, actually, they don't have one because they traded it for Jamal Adams. But
they don't have one the next two drafts.
But I'll be interested to see if they draft a linebacker no one's ever heard of with their first second round pick, which is, you know, a tradition in Seattle unlike any other.
Sure is.
Mike Davis to the Falcons. This one interesting purely because of fantasy stuff. I have a fantasy friend who was like, man, I love that move. I don't. Mm-hmm. I think that his success all year was 100% predicated on Matt Rhule. I don't necessarily, he got what he deserved, which was like a $3 million deal, but they're going to draft someone and he's not going to be the focal point. Mike Davis is not the focal point of an offense and can't be.
I mean, I think I could see Mike Davis, you know, being a focal point for like what, like 4 or 5, 6 games. And then, you know, like, I believe they'll draft somebody as well, and they'll start, you know, inching that drafty in as the lead guy. And even then, for fantasy purposes, it doesn't really inspire me all that much anyways, because in Arthur Smith's offense doesn't include a whole bunch of, you know, running back, pass-friendly sort of stuff in his offense. He doesn't, you know, design a lot of stuff for his running backs in the passing game. It's literally, you know, the power run game, the different power concepts in the run game, and the different sorts of concept that he does in the passing game, the intermediate short passing game, play action, that sort of stuff. He doesn't, you know, target his running backs a whole bunch in the passing game. Screens is probably the only thing I've seen much from him. So if Mike Davis does have any sort of fantasy upside, it's probably him, you know, running out the gate, having some crazy unpredictable miracle season as a running back, you know, rushing for what, 1,200 freaking yards and 15 touchdowns, which literally has what, a 5% chance of happening, if that. So yeah, I don't see much fantasy upside with that either.
Josh Reynolds to your Titans. I like this move. He's always been a kind of sleeper favorite of mine on the Rams. I mean, he's not a game-changing playmaker, but he does his job. And, you know, I think he can provide a nice little tertiary target for the Titans. I still think they should draft someone at wide receiver as well, but, yeah, I like the move.
Yeah, I like it too. I mean, he has some versatility. He can play in the slot, but he also has the size and physicality to, you know, play boundary receiver as a Z guy. Since AJ Brown's probably going to be occupying, well, not probably, is going to be occupying the X spot in the offense. So I like the move. But like you said, I believe so. The Titans need to draft somebody else as well, too, because behind AJ Brown and Josh Reynolds, there's not even any depth back there. Wide receiver three right now is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Have you heard of Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Eric?
No.
You have not. Exactly. Exactly. So that's why that's in the depth chart order. That's wide receiver three right now. So they need to add somebody. They could still add somebody in free agency, but they most definitely need to add somebody in the draft, like you said.
Yeah. We will see what happens there. All right, transitioning. We're going to try something new here. Okay. This is called Draft Corner with Eric Jensen, man that watches YouTube highlights as college film. Trey, we can obviously workshop it. Seems like a mouthful.
Yeah, you know, it sucks because me and you both don't have enough clout to get the all 22 film from college teams, so we're stuck watching YouTube stuff.
That said, I still think I can figure out skill position value based on YouTube highlights. Not defensive stuff, but like not the secondary, not defensive. Well, actually, I think I could figure out like defensive line off of YouTube highlights, but we're going to talk about the wide receiver class really quick. This great list provided to us by Walker Kelly, who couldn't make it tonight because he was feeling a little under the weather. We'll get him on before draft time. But I've been watching two guys here. One, so Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith. Before I watched Ja'Marr Chase, I was of the opinion Devontae Smith was kind of the best receiver in the class. And though he is slightly taller at 6'1", and Trey, I'm a sucker for height. You give me a tall receiver, you give me a DK Metcalf type, I'm all in on that. So I don't know what you think, but Ja'Marr Chase looks way bigger than 6 feet tall.
He really does.
On his tape. I don't understand that measurement. He's got to be taller than that. He's a big dude. But I mean, he looks pretty good. And that's kind of my analysis. He's physical. He gets up. He attacks at the point of a catch. He looks like a decent route runner. And he kind of understands the concepts and the way the field is scripted, and he's fast. What do you think about him?
I mean, I was basically going to say what you just said. I guess the one thing that I really love about him is how physical he is. I'm a sucker for big physical wide receivers, just like you. You know, reminds me of the dominance. Seeing a big physical wide receiver, you know, gets me a little bit closer to watching the dominance that I saw with Calvin Johnson that I loved watching growing up. Even though some of those players, most of those players probably won't ever live up to the fame that Calvin Johnson had. It's still fun to watch those big physical wide receivers manhandle those DBs and just look like alpha males on the field. So I'm a big sucker for those physical wide receivers, man.
Indeed. All right, I'm pulling up Devontae Smith highlights just really quick to give my initial react. I did watch a lot of Alabama last year, so I know who this guy is. I mean, it's impossible not to know who this guy is. He was a Heisman winner last year, and boy, is he quick. He's his legs, the length of his legs is impressive. He's got a really nice, I mean, that's the stuff draft guys like me say. Length of his legs is impressive. That catch he makes against LSU where he gets up in the back of the end zone. Man, that was a crazy catch. He's a great route runner. He looks good to me. Sort of reminds me of a Jerry Jeudy type. Man, oh man, Alabama just finds these guys. They've got like four current guys in the NFL. They're wide receiver U now. That is what they are, I believe. So, man, oh man, look at him. Look at him cut. Now, this is live reaction as I'm watching these highlights. He just he's got a nice wiggle to him when he goes down the field. Your thoughts on Devontae Smith?
Yeah, watching Devontae Smith is a ride. It's like watching a guy that has freaking jetpack rockets strapped to the back of his legs or even to his back, period. I mean, he's just so explosive, man. Like, we see wide receivers, fast guys, and call them fast, but there are few wide receivers that are as fast and just have that weird extra gear that when you see the run, it's almost a blur watching them run right past you. That's what Devontae Smith has. You know, he's real explosive, really, really explosive. And he's a really good route runner, actually. He uses his quickness to his advantage, you know, running routes across the middle of the field, down the field, wherever it is. He uses quickness to his advantage in his route tree. And, you know, he said at his pro day, I believe, that he was around 170 pounds, which is like a twig compared to, you know, the NFL players that we have today. But when you watch them over the years, he's pretty physical for, you know, a guy that small, weighing 170 pounds and having twig-like legs, you know, or as Eric likes to call them, those impressive legs, you know, when he was watching those highlights. So he's physical, you know. I really like him. If you put him in an offense where you can give him the ball in a variety of ways, then shoot, sign me up, because his sort of skill set doesn't deserve to be wasted in the NFL.
I'm doing screen sharing right now. Can you see this? We're watching the same thing, right?
Yeah, I can.
All right. Never tried this before on, Zoom. What a nice little feature it is. When we are still recording, let's go. Yeah, so that's sort of, let me pull up Twitter here really quick, and next guy, Jalen Waddle, who I have not watched this guy's highlights yet. What do you think about what should I be looking for here?
You should be watching Jalen Waddle for his supreme athleticism. The guy can literally run a 4.3, 4.4, I guarantee he has at least a 40-inch vertical. The guy's an athletic specimen. You know, he's just like Devontae Smith. He's really, really quick. He's really, really explosive. He's a really, really special player. You know, I remember that game against Auburn. You know, I believe it was the Iron Bowl a couple years ago where he had a couple really, really good touchdowns in that game, where you just bulge out your eyes in amazement each time you saw him with the ball. You know, so he's a really, really fun player. He's a player that if you can scheme up so many different ways to give him the football, he's literally going to deliver each and every single time, because he's that much, you know, of a game breaker. He's so much fun to watch. Like, and I keep saying he's so much fun to watch, but I generally love watching Jalen Waddle play. Love watching him play.
Worries you though a little bit. Henry Ruggs was kind of the same guy. He didn't really have an impact in Las Vegas last year.
Well, Henry Ruggs wasn't, and that's what I, and from what I remember, I don't remember Jalen Waddle being some guy that, you know, was running too many different routes, you know, throughout the field. And that was the same with Henry Ruggs. Henry Ruggs didn't run a lot of specific routes in college. From what I remember, you know, it was a lot of deep stuff, lot of quick stuff to where he can get his feet up under him and start running and use his speed to his advantage. But the thing with Waddle is that even though he has that, you know, even though Waddle might not run a ton of those, you know, what, complicated routes or whatever in his route tree, he's really, really good, you know, with special teams. And like I said, his athleticism is insane. So that's one big bonus, you know, or two big bonuses to his game. So I like Waddle. I think he can be a fun player in the NFL. Don't know if he's a guy that, you know, that's what, a top wide receiver on the team, simply because it's that, you know, we just haven't seen a whole bunch of them, you know, running those, like I said, those complicated routes or whatever it is. We like to make a big deal of those the route tree and if it's extensive or not, but, you know, that maybe that's just me. But I truly like Waddle, you know, regardless of, you know, the concerns, any concerns that someone might have with him. I love him.
Yeah, this guy's speed is on another level. So is his balance.
Yeah.
Which is pretty impressive. Yeah, you know, overall, I'm a fan. It's going to be hard for wide receivers to make money in about 2 years, I think.
It is.
It's going to be like,
'cause they just keep coming out, you know.
It's going to be like really hard to make money as a wide receiver in a few years. Because, I mean, the league's just oversaturated. I mean, can you point at a team right now that doesn't have at least one high upside wide receiver? Go through the divisions really quick. NFC East.
Dallas has Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper. Washington's got Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. Eagles, maybe the Eagles, but they might draft a guy this year. But I guess the Eagles could be in there. But they have Jalen Reagor, who, you know, people think can be a good player and who I thought was pretty good last year, honestly.
Yeah.
When he played, he has to stay healthy. You look at the Giants, I mean, they get Kenny G.
And they had Darius Slayton, who's really good before they signed Kenny God. They had Darius Slayton,
right?
He's really good.
I mean, NFC North, you got not Stephon Diggs anymore, but Justin Jefferson now with Minnesota. He dominated last year. Who else you got in that? I mean, Davante Adams. How can you forget the best wide receiver in the entire NFL? I guess Detroit needs a guy because they got rid of all the guys they have, but still, I mean, so that's one team. I mean, Chicago's got Allen Robinson. In the West, everybody's got someone. In the South, pretty much everybody's got someone.
Carolina, maybe.
Yeah, I like Moore.
I forgot about DJ Moore. Yeah, that is one.
I like DJ Moore. I think he's a really good player. He was a Pro Bowler last year, I believe.
Forgot about DJ Moore.
They've got some depth there, I believe. I'd have to look at their roster.
Robbie Anderson up there too.
Oh yes, Robbie Anderson is very good as well. I mean, so that's the NFC. So we've determined one team in the NFC needs, like, okay, we'll call the Eagles there too. So two teams.
Yeah.
I mean, the AFC West, Raiders could use another guy.
They could.
But the Chargers, they're set with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Broncos got a great receiving core with Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. Chiefs got their guys. In the South, I mean, I guess the Titans have A.J. Brown, but I guess you could call them a wide receiver needy team, but not really. I mean, they have A.J. Brown.
That's true.
And, I mean, who else? Like the Colts, I guess the Colts could use a true number one guy, depending on how you feel about Michael Pittman, but he's a guy that, you know, they think has a lot of promise. The Jags, but even the guy, I mean, Laviska Shenault was very good last year, you know?
He was. You expect
him to make a big jump in year two, so. That is crazy to think about. Not a lot of teams need wide receivers, and the draft is going to be chock full of them.
Full of them, man.
All right, two guys I have heard their names, but never actually watched them. Rondale Moore or Rashad Bateman? Let's not do both. Ooh. Let's wrap things up. You pick. Who are we doing?
Let's go away from the let's finish out with a taller. Actually, yeah, let's finish out with it with Rashad Bateman.
Rashad Bateman?
Mm-hmm.
Rashad Bateman went to Minnesota, huh? Don't think of Minnesota as a traditional powerhouse, but perhaps I'm wrong. I mean, who knows? As we wait for YouTube ads to play, we are back now with a Rashad Bateman highlights from FFAAstronauts.com. Thank you, guys, for putting this together. All right. He is big. He is tall. I would like to skip cutscenes. Here we go. Oh, man. This guy is DK Metcalf. Right?
Really, really good, man. I'm going to call him Metcalf, but he's smooth. He's like Metcalf, man. He's not in control. You know, he's got some decent speed. He's a really, really good route runner. He's one of those guys that, I don't know, you just notice. I love watching.
Interesting.
You know, the Minnesota game. I think that's coming out for people for in turn being exposed to him because he really went off that game against Minnesota. Same with Tyler. I think it was Tyler Johnson in Minnesota as well who went off that game, but Rashad Bateman was really, you know, turned heads against Penn State that game. So, and that was the game that got me watching him a lot more closely as his career, you know, started to pan out. So, I love Rashad Bateman. I think, you know, if I was Titans and I had Rashad Bateman on the board at 21, 22, I believe, I'm picking Bateman.
Oh, Bateman. A pairing that would be, A.J. Brown and him. He kind of reminds me of A.J. Brown a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds
me. He's nice. And he's real. And he would.
I don't know.
He's real good at the catch, too, man.
I do think. I watch this guy and I just think DK Metcalf.
He's nice.
He is.
He's so nice.
He's just a baller. I like him a lot. He's going to be very, very good on whatever team he ends up heading to. He gets up. He doesn't have great quarterbacks throwing to him. He still makes good plays. He looks like he's a decent route runner as well. You're right. He is very smooth. He's fluid. Look at him. Wow. He's my favorite guy of the guys we've watched.
Oh, really?
I mean, I get it with the other guys, but like, I don't know. I'm a fan of A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf. Those two guys last year were probably my favorite two wide receivers to watch in the entire NFL. Which, I mean, we're very much in a need to fill off-season content. Maybe we should do some top 10 position skill
position
rankings shows.
That'd be good.
Quarterback when we get deeper into the off-season.
Mm-hmm.
But my oh my, I do like this guy. We'll talk with Walker about this more. That was the first football I've watched in a long time, which, Trey, is why I'm giving you this assignment to give me this assignment. Everybody knows I like watching Game Pass, but I've been busy with work, and I've been saying this and that and making excuses for myself. So I need a teacher, and Trey is that teacher, to come into this classroom and say, it's Game Pass roulette time, which means Trey right now is going to give me, and I'll tweet out this later tonight, Trey, because this will come out Thursday. You'll give me my roulette teams, and I will go watch exactly three games from each one of those teams, and you're also going to pick one offensive player, non-quarterback, and one defensive player. for me to do a little all 22 on, and we will reconvene in April. Let's say give me like 3 weeks.
Okay.
And we'll come back on and we'll do the news. And then the second half of our segment will be talking about that team. And Trey, you, as you know, you have access to Game Pass. I've made that aware, you aware of that. If you would like to do a little game passing yourself on these teams, we can compare notes. And that will be Game Pass Roulette. And I've talked to Joe Rowe about this. He wants to do this after he's done, because he's busy with draft stuff right now. But he says in the dead of summer, he wants to do this. So he will be joining us. We're going to do this multiple times. So Trey, without further ado, unveil to me my two teams and my two players.
All right. I'm going to spin a random roulette wheel of NFL teams. I'm going to give you your teams now just to give you some suspense, Eric. So,
I should say, it can't be the Broncos and it can't be the Titans. We'll say that. Can't be either one of those teams.
Okay. Let's spin the wheel, give you your two teams. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's spin this wheel. Wheel has landed on the Texans, man.
Oh, gross.
I'm so sorry. That's your AFC team, Eric.
No. This is not. I create the rules. Spin again.
Wow. Okay. Spin again. Your first team will be the. Ooh, you got lucky. You got the Packers.
Ooh, all right.
NFC. There's your NFC team. Okay, let's spin the wheel for your AFC team. I'll keep spinning until I get an AFC team. If it gets to that, the wheel has landed on. Oh, it landed on an NFC team. Let me try this again. AFC team, Eric. I keep getting an NFC team. You know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to roll this again. If I land on an NFC team, I'm going to pick the AFC team that's closest to it. Can I go with you?
Well, you don't need to keep telling me that it fails. Just stall, and it's a podcast medium. Nobody can see us. You can lie.
Well, you don't want the weird silence, do you?
No, just
here you go. I got it. Raiders. AFC team. Raiders.
Okay. All right. I watched a lot of them last year, anyways.
Really?
Well, I work for them.
Really?
Yeah. I do the radio. Okay. Podcast, remember?
Okay,
I'll do the Raiders. That might be anticlimactic, but I'll do the Raiders.
Okay, NFL. I'll take the mental throwing dart and just think of one random NFL, one offensive player, one random offensive and defensive player for you to watch. Your offensive player, Eric, will be T. Higgins of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay. I can get behind that.
Yep. And your defensive player will be I'm trying to give you a nice size defensive player to watch. You know what? I think I got it. Let's go to Carolina and you're going to watch. It was that rookie safety last year that was really, really good. I'm trying to remember his name. It's slipping my mind.
Panthers safeties. Thank you for picking a safety. I do like watching safeties. Carolina Panthers depth chart. Here we go.
Chin. That was his name. I think that was his last name. Chin.
Jeremy Chin. Oh, I think Jeremy he plays Chin. For the Patriots, dude.
Jeremy Chin?
I'm pretty sure. Let me sort by position. Safety. HIJKLMNOPQR safety. The safeties on the team are
Jeremy Chin, yeah.
The safeties on the team are Kenny Robinson, Sam Franklin, Sean Chandler, Justin Burris, and Rodney Smith.
Dude, Jeremy Chin plays for the Panthers, bro.
Really?
Look him up. He plays for the Panthers, man.
All right, Jeremy Chin. Stats. Jeremy Chin is a... Oh, he plays free safety. Okay. Mm. That's why.
You were looking up strong.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Yeah, I'll check this guy out. Okay. Well, send out a tweet for me, Trey, as I wrap up the show. All right. Well, this was fun. Trey, I'd like to end on a more positive note. I'm sorry for making light of tornadoes. I did not realize they were that near to your house. Although I still enjoy watching tornadoes. I think they're a fascinating scientific proposition, but I don't want them near Trey Watkins. Here is a motivational poem for you for tomorrow. Reveille, okay. By A.E. Housman. Wake, the silver dusk returning. Up the beach of darkness brims, and the ship of sunrise burning strands upon the eastern rims. Wake, the vaulted shadow shatters, trampled to the floor it spanned, and tent of night in tatters straws the sky pavilion land. Up, lad, 'tis late for lying. Hear the drums of morning play. Hark, the empty highways crying. Who beyond the hills away? Towns and countries woo together. Foreland's beacon, belfry's call. Never lad that trod on lever lived to feast his heart withal. Up, lad, those who lie encumber sunlit pallets never thrive. Morn's a bed and daylight slumber were not meant for man alive. Clay lies still, but blood's a rover, breath aware that will not keep. Up, lad, when the journey's over, there'll be enough time for sleep. What a great poem that was.
Very.
Up, lad, 'tis late for lying. Hear the drums of morning play. Hark the empty highways crying. Who beyond the hills away?
Very detailed poem, Eric.
Thank you, Trey. We are going to keep doing this because I think it makes you uncomfortable, and I think that's good podcasting.
Oh, man.
All right. We will see y'all next week. We're going to get back to Sundays once March Madness ends because I'm working on Sundays a lot. So two more weeks, we'll be back to Sunday. So look for the podcast sometime that midweek next week. Thank you all very much for listening. Oh, Trey, why don't you do some plugs?
Oh, well, Trey John Watkins, follow me on Twitter at TreyWatkins099. Still writing a lot of Titans NFL stuff for Black Sports Online and Broadway Sports Media. Check out Broadway Sports Media too. A lot of really, really good guys on that staff, you know. Hardworking guys too. If you've heard of Mike Herndon, really, really hardworking guy, knows his football, knows his analytics, knows his cap. He knows football, period, man. So he's on there, real good guy. John Glennon, veteran. Titans writer, reporter for years, and a lot of smart guys on that staff. So check out Broadway Sports Media. A lot of good guys on that staff putting out, you know, real impressive content as much as possible. So continue to check out Broadway Sports Media and continue to look out, you know, for my stuff as well whenever I put it out. You know, inconsistent at times since, you know, school, but I still try to get stuff out, you know, whenever I can.
All right. That was very funny. By the way, Nashville sports moment. When that ref tried to give the Preds a penalty.
Oh gosh,
that was very funny.
That was horrible.
That was so funny. He is fired now, but still, I just found that incredibly funny. That he got caught on hot mic basically being like, yeah, I just want to give him a penalty just for the hell of it. Oh man. Anyhow, Trey, stay safe tomorrow. As you know, my text line is always open. So send things my way. And keep me in the loop. We are hoping things go well tomorrow. Let's hope tornadoes do not touch down.
Let's hope. I agree, man.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you all so much for listening. We will see you next week.